for you, not against you. And there's so many things that we could do, especially whether you're going through a foreclosure, whether you just went through a divorce, diagnosed with cancer. For people that are dealing with stress, it just puts havoc on your body. Do you know someone that maybe no matter what happens, they're able to handle the stress where others become physically sick or depressed? In the past decade, the need for antidepressants have doubled, and the studies show that twice as many women take antidepressants versus men. And it's just amazing when you think about it, because when you think about on how important it is to take care of that one model year that God gives you, you really need to make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's, especially when you're taking medicine. Check this out. Researchers estimate that one out of every 10 women have taken or is taking an antidepressant. So when you're dealing with statistics like that, it makes me wonder. So I wanted to have an expert, and joining me now this evening on the phone is Dr. Howard Berkin, and he's a well-respected psychiatrist in the metropolitan Detroit area. And Doctor, welcome this evening to Peter's Principles.
Thanks, Peter, and it's Howard Belkin. And I'm affiliated with Beaumont Hospital. I really appreciate you having me here on the...
I appreciate you being here, Doctor. You know, as I mentioned, the statistics show that more women are using antidepressants than men. Can you tell our listeners what you think is the reason for this?
You know, Peter, it's interesting. Statistics show that women are actually twice as likely to have a depressive episode in their lives as men are. As a matter of fact, 25% of all women will have one depressive episode in their lifetime. What that translates to is one out of four of your female listeners right now who are listening to the show this evening are in their lifetimes going to have one episode of major depression. There's a lot of reasons for that. Women are under a lot of different stresses than men are. Primarily, women are under the stress of childbearing, child rearing, perhaps having a career and having a home at the same time. And oftentimes, women have less control over their lives than men do. All of these are things that add an enormous amount of stress to women, and they're going to be the kind of things that are going to have more of a tendency to cause women to have depression and anxiety than men do. Women are also much more likely to go to a doctor when they're feeling depressed or when they're feeling anxious. And in going to the doctor, they're much more likely to look for treatment, to seek treatment, and to accept treatment.
Doctor, can you explain to the listeners how do antidepressants work?
Antidepressants are very interesting. What antidepressants do is they actually make subtle changes in brain chemistry. There are three separate brain chemicals that most antidepressants work on. There's norepinephrine, there's dopamine, and there's serotonin. What the antidepressants do is they make subtle changes in these, so there's a slightly larger amount of one of these three chemicals present in the brain. Because of that, the symptoms of depression that a patient will be feeling will be decreasing.
You know, and for people that, you know, are prescribed an antidepressant, approximately how long does it take before that person should start noticing, you know, an improvement in their mood or their overall wellness of how they think?
What most physicians, most psychiatrists will tell you, and what I tell the patients, is when we start them on an antidepressant, it will usually take somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks. Or sometimes even a little bit longer, once we get to an effective dose, for the symptoms of depression to start to decrease. For anxiety, frequently we see the symptoms of anxiety decreasing after approximately 2 weeks.
You know, Ed, for every purchase there's a cost, Doctor. Is there any side effects when it comes to this? And can a person, you know, function normally if they're into physical fitness or they're a CEO of a company and they're, you know, when a person has that edge, if channeled properly, it could be phenomenal. If channeled wrong, it could be lethal.
Well, you know, Peter, as you know, that's why physical fitness and physical exercise are so extremely important. When we have that edge and when we channel it the right way through physical fitness, through our work, through whatever high-level activity we do, we can do great. The problem is when somebody has symptoms of depression and symptoms of anxiety, they're not feeling normally. And what happens is there, the anxiety and the depression, what we would normally channel in a positive direction, becomes overwhelming. When it becomes overwhelming, we just can't function anymore. If the medications work, and especially medication in addition to therapy, the person should just feel better. They should basically feel like the feelings they were having before of a pervasive sadness, of pervasive depression, anxiety, shouldn't be there anymore. It's important to remember that antidepressants and medication is only adjunctive to psychotherapy, to exercise, to living a healthy lifestyle. One is not a completely different person. When one is in an appropriate treatment setting, one is going to feel like himself again. Basically, the moods will be better, sleep, appetite, all the associated symptoms will start to resolve. The person is going to feel the way they used to feel.
You know, I was watching a nightly news show on a national TV station last weekend, and they actually had this study. It was actually on CNN, and they had this gentleman who lost his wife, who lost his job and went bankrupt, and his one of his children were diagnosed with cancer. So financially, emotionally, I mean, he lost the love of his life, everything within a like 10-day period of time. He said that he thought about suicide, and the thing that his friend ended up doing was saying, why don't you come for a run with me? And he says, what are you, crazy? He says, I'm 60 years old. He says, I haven't even walked, no less run. Well, you know, a year later, you know, with God's help, he gives the credit to exercise and just having a great support system when it comes to his friends and a good therapist, but exercise and eating right was such a big, important factor. I guess my next question is, can antidepressants be addictive?
Oh, well, Peter, I think that's interesting. And to your last point, I emphasize that to people. The importance of exercise and living a good, healthy lifestyle, the paramount things that one can do to get better. I can't overemphasize how important that is. Addiction in antidepressants is a very important topic to discuss. Something that is addictive means it's psychologically or physically habit-forming. Antidepressants are not addictive. They're no more addictive than high blood pressure pills or medications for diabetes. They're not addictive the way opiates or benzodiazepines or barbiturates would be addictive by any means. In some cases, people may have minor withdrawal symptoms, but in generally speaking, there is no potential for addiction with antidepressants.
Your final thought, your take-home message, I mean, the advice that you would give anyone that is considering, you know, seeing a doctor or considering antidepressants when they're depressed, what would be the take-home message? If even people right now that are listening and saying, I could deal with this by myself, I'm okay, I'm never going to go on any kind of medicine, I like who I am, and they just go around that mountain over and over and over again, and the collateral damage are their families, their friends, their occupation, their health. What would be the take-home message, doctor?
Well, Peter, the number one take-home message is you've got to be able to recognize the symptoms. If you're experiencing a sad mood, problems with sleep, appetite, energy, concentration, if you're experiencing feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, worthlessness, but especially thoughts of death, thoughts of self-harm, you probably have depression. Help is available. Seek help and seek help as soon as you can. Talk to your family, talk to your friends, talk to your family doctor. If you don't have a source, call the William Beaumont Hospital referral line. Depression is serious. However, depression can be treated. Therapy, lifestyle changes, direct medication can help. And most importantly, it can be life-saving.
Again, I want to thank Dr. Howard Belkin. He's from Beaumont Hospital. He's a psychiatrist. He's a gem to this city. I want to thank you for all that you do, and I hope that you and your family have just a wonderful, blessed summer. So thank you for being on Peter's Principles this evening.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate you having me here.
Well, coming up, I'll be taking...